Good evening, everybody, and welcome to an evening of rank punditry.
the raver spotted.
Yes, the rarer, actually slightly early stream as well. if our voices sound a bit tired, that's because Evelyn's been doing a whole bunch of streaming on her fundraiser.
It's funny you mention that, because I opened it up there to grab a link, and somebody has just donated 70 whole pounds. Whoever hunger is, thank you very much. So you've already posted the link there, so you beat me to it.
we also have 60 quid not showing up there from the... donating directly through the PayPal, which I seem to be, again, you can donate, that goes the same place that the Streamlabs does. No, Streamlabs goes to Trigg, actually, but it'll all shuffle out the same anyway. Mm. There are many, many ways to donate to us. You can donate to Evelyn's GoFundMe, because she's going to the Mises Institute. You can donate via Streamlabs. You can donate via PayPal, which I linked, I think, in the previous stream. Obviously, we're still monetized on YouTube if those buttons are still there somehow. Through some miracle, we are still monetized on the older YouTubes.
Just believe.
Yeah, we're just going to believe in it. Just going to believe in the heart of the monetization. Mm. We'll probably have lower viewers today than usual because we've been streaming a lot and YouTube deranks you for that. Thank you, YouTube. Very cool.
Yeah,
but
so,
we don't fear the algorithm.
Yeah, we do not fear the algorithm because we know that people will share our stuff anyway because they enjoy it so much, of course.
Yes. You guys are very good at seeking us out. So so you guys have actually made it here today. Thank you. You are the chosen few. A lot of people will probably not be notified we are live, though.
As are the members and all the other people who support the stuff that we do.
Yep, we got a bunch of members and they've held kind of stable. We've not had many new ones recently, but they have remained. So thank you guys who support us on a monthly basis. But yeah, we're generally doing pretty good. So that's a little bit of a channel update there, a little bit of a slight life update as well for your for the Mises stuff. You did a 2.5 hour stream earlier.
Two and a half.
I have a bit of a cold.
It was four. I did just over 4 hours yesterday, and then 3:50 earlier on. I'm actually surprised.
Oh, sorry, you did. There were 2 4-hour streams. So getting them watch hours in, fam.
Yeah, just got 8 more of those to go, roughly.
Oh dear. Well, there's been a good response from it. Again, thank you for being very generous with the donations. There's been it's just the first 2 days, so we've had a very good turnover, to be honest. But we have a scattershot, really, selection of stories today. We'll be talking about quite a lot of different stuff. It'll be a little bit looser. We are going to have... I ran a poll the other day. People do want us to go back at some point when we can to doing the more democratization-style stuff, something a bit more scripted.
Well, I think maybe people don't realise... not to pat ourselves on the back entirely... But a lot of the stuff that we've done over the last little while has actually been very scripted. I mean, a lot of the Thursday and Monday streams that have been done.
Oh yeah.
I'd normally have at least a page or two of Google Docs notes to go with them. So it's not so much that we don't script stuff anymore. I think it's just if we aren't, the democratization stuff needs a bigger script because it has to flow from one into the other. But standalone streams,
yes,
I think
does.
We've found a really nice balance, to be honest.
I think we found an okay balance, but there's a couple of things I'd like to cover with the help of you, of course, maybe in a little bit of depth, and I'll go through those at some point. There's a few ideas brewing. There's always ideas brewing. There's always more brewing than we can actually do.
Oh, tell me about it. I've got so much going on in my head just now. It's ridiculous.
Yes, I've a rather busy brain pan as well. Oh dear, there's a lot going on. I guess this is kind of like almost a soft sequel in some ways to our non-dare call it collapse stream, because we're really seeing the big signs of large scale misery continuing on the horizon. I know people accuse us of being Le Black Pilled, but this is just the indicators of reality. Mm. So we'll go through. In a little bit of detail, I guess, why some of the indicators, especially with the British economic stuff, show a large trend towards 70s style hardship.
Oh, this is going to be a whole other beast, but we'll get to it. I suppose we'll start with the big news. The big news, the big new, the big next thing, guys. It's the new thing to talk about. The convenient Supreme Court leak, where they're supposedly voting to overturn abortion rights, which is actually, as far as I'm aware, basically a couple of Supreme Court judges agreeing with and upholding some agreement in Mississippi or something. And what this will essentially mean is that in like Florida, Mississippi, and Texas, you won't be able to have an abortion after either, is it 6 or 10 weeks, depending on what the state standard is. So functionally, there is
Yes.
basically no change to abortion law. However, everyone's talked about it all week, and we've owned the libs because of it. So
The libs have been thoroughly owned by legal technicalities. There's
yeah.
an entire thing about Roe versus Wade being a massive stain on the US legal system, basically making a mockery of it. Because even people who agree with the decision, many who are, legally versed and at least able to be honest about it, agree that it was a terrible decision. It has led to a huge amount of cobbled together law and precedent that needs to be untangled. It's almost as bad as a lot of some of the civil rights stuff in that way. But we don't really have the legal detail to go over that. I would recommend looking up some of the stuff if you're interested in the in-depth look at this from Ricada Law. He's very good. He's covered a lot of things. You'll be able to find a lot of people talking about it in great detail anyway.
Yeah, no, because I
It's
remember I had this article I'm sort of slowly scrolling through just now. I don't think there's really much of a point of reading it, really, as you said. But I had a look through it, and I was actually surprised by the fact that they're not even political, who normally would go for a pretty heavy lefty kind of narrative, I would say, have kind of just stuck with the pure like legalistic of it's a weak case, blah de blah de blah. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's a strange way for it to come around, is all. And this is also from February as well, I believe. So they've had months probably to leak this stuff, and they just haven't up until now. Or at least we are only hearing about the leak now, which is probably more than likely the case.
Yes, there seems to have been a concerted media circus around this. There were a lot of people who had photo opportunities ready, a lot of people had statements ready right off the bat. This seems to have been organized in the background to be timed at this moment, really, quite deliberately. I'm not quite sure why. There will be reasoning for it. There's been some hilarious stuff from the rank punditry in the left saying that, well, actually the conservatives might have leaked it because reasons. But it really does seem like an attempt to whip up the next tranche of the current thing and subsume everyone for a couple of weeks in the narrative of what's going on.
Well, let's not forget the midterms aren't too far away. So, stop thinking about lockdown, stop thinking about the economic collapse. Focus on the fact that like a handful of schools in certain places want to turn your kids gay, supposedly, and the libs are crying over abortion despite the fact that the laws haven't changed. I mean, I remember reading a thing the other week about how the situation has changed in Texas, and what happens now is women just go and get abortions after 2 weeks. They just
Yeah.
like no thought about it. It's oh well, if I have so many weeks to go and do it, then as soon as I can, I will do it.
Yeah, it's once again what I refer to as the twiddling of the knobs. It's in UK politics, a lot of it revolves around like immigration quotas or 1% to 2% changes in tax limits.
Yeah,
In the
there's no
US, yeah.
changing the nature of the machine. You just, as you said, you just twiddle the knobs.
It reminds me of the DeSantis stuff, because what's happened is the conservatives have codified, in quotes, the Republicans have codified that the correct time to kill a baby is 2 weeks rather than, 24. They're haggling over when they kill the babies, which is very, very peak modern conservatism, rather than having a very ideological extreme in quotes from the mainstream perspective stance, like anyone with a spine would do, or anyone on the political left would do. They once again have reached the compromise position, which is now the extreme position, which is we kill the babies less soon.
Yeah. We just teach kids about sex when they get to 10, because then they're ready.
Yeah, you can be aborted at 4 weeks or 2 to 4 weeks, and you can be taught about Drag Queen Story Hour and groomed to be a tranny at
Yeah,
10.
there's somebody's got it in the chat. Rose stands with Ukraine. So does
Yeah.
Ruth Bader Ginsburg. She stands with Ukraine.
And she's bad, guys. She didn't actually die. That was a
Nah.
clerical error. It was a mistake. It's also tiresome, but yeah, that is the current thing. We are aware of the current thing, but the yeah, it's like people who've taken to posting the current thing as a psyop, which is great with the Alex Jones image. Yeah, we are neither for or against the current thing. We
Well,
think the current
that,
thing is
yeah.
a
No, I think I made the one that was like, I ain't believing shit about the current thing.
psyop. I don't buy the current thing, Jack.
Nah, I ain't believing shit. And then the Bank of England is also, with no pre-mention of it whatsoever, other than
No.
someone who mentioned it in a Telegram, in our Telegram chat, if people are not a part of that. I'm sure you might have the link handy there just in case
Yes.
people want to be. But someone
I do, I
mentioned that
do. I clapped, I clapped. Sorry.
they had heard about this because Halifax had sent them an email about the interest rates going up 2 days ago and then very quickly deleted all the
Yes, they had,
emails.
and it was kind of in the news, but only after he announced it. It
Yeah.
was weird. There was like a press hold on it almost. There must have been some sort of fucking denotice. Because I heard about that leak, but I only heard it post hoc. And someone, the first I heard about it really was the people in our Telegram, yes. They didn't actually hit the press until the rate hike was announced properly, which is very odd.
Yeah, Bank of
Very
England
odd.
expected to raise interest. I think they have raised them, haven't they? I haven't checked back
Yes.
yet today because I've been a bit busy, but I presume they've gone to, I think they said they were going to go to 1%, if not more.
Ooh, 1%, massive rate. It's funny that we're talking about this, but that's how fragile the
Yeah.
market is.
Maybe they don't.
Function.
They've changed this article from when I looked at it earlier on. But the UK is not the only country seeing growing interest rates. The US Federal Reserve raised its rates to a range of 0.25 to 1%, while the Federal Bank or the Reserve Bank of Australia raised its rate from 0.1 to 0.35%, the first rise in 11 years.
Jesus Christ. Well, welcome. Well, the whole point of the nominal zero rates is that essentially the banks get paid to take on the debt.
Someone in the chat's like inflation is probably closer to 10%. Nah, it's probably 50%. I mean, they have literally printed since 2020 double the amount of money supply that there was before, pretty much. And it's almost getting to those kind of levels. So the price inflation, as I know, probably people don't need to be educated on here because they probably heard me rant about it enough. But it's just like a bullshit fake measure. It doesn't actually reflect the real problem, which is that the quantity of money is expanding and the quantity of goods isn't expanding to match the quantity of money expansion. It's just that sort of simple. And
It's like toddler economic stuff, yes.
especially in a situation whereby your actual quantity of goods and services that you're producing and selling are probably diminishing because the collapse is afoot, then the problem just gets worse because now you've got even more money than you had before, bidding on less goods than there was before as well. It's
Yeah,
a double loss. Hand
hand
sanitizers
sanitizer.
in the inflation basket, that's brilliant.
The fucking CPI. I remember I've explained to about five different people in my workplace what the CPI is and the basket of goods thing, and they're like, "Wait a minute, what?"
I explained to him the fact that phone prices haven't changed since about 2005, according to the CPI. And then
Yes.
they got to like 2018 and then realized that they couldn't really say phones were like X price anymore. So instead of like doubling the price of them, as they should, they just wiped them out.
Yeah, they remove them from the basket of goods, and they put in there like some fucking Jacob's cream crackers that are now on offer at Tesco. It literally is that. It's just made up.
Yep.
It's the people who set the inflation target also set what goods count towards the official inflation rate. And once you realize that, you start to realize that all the numbers everywhere are made up and
Yeah,
nothing is real.
it's all just a joke.
It is all just a joke. The fact that there's like 15 different measures of inflation, and some of them you're not allowed to see. Like the inter-business inflation stuff is kept well under wraps
Yeah, good luck
because
trying to get
that.
an accurate M3 or M4 statistic after about 2016, 2017 when the new rounds of QE started up.
Good luck at getting them to measure things like Q4 and Q3 in the same way as well, because they change it every 5 years, as you've seen. It's also tiresome. But this is what happens when you have a made-up managerial economy, where all money is seen as a tool of policy rather than an outgrowth of the need for exchange. Welcome to the post-democratization hell. Watch the democratization series and watch us rant for hours on end about central banking.
Yeah, I'm just the moment for me, honestly, will be when a normal 30-gram pouch of tobacco is going to be 20 quid, which will probably happen before this year's out. That's going to be ridiculous.
Well, the reason as well, because we've been buying quite a lot of things like whiskey and tobacco, because those have quite a long shelf life, a lot of them. And the price increases are lagging behind a little bit. Actually, I'd say the stuff that we're buying is relatively cheap compared to what it's going to be in 6 months.
Oh, and
As
that's
part.
exactly what I mean. Like, I imagine what a pouch of tobacco is going to be Christmas time this year. It's going to be probably over £20, and that's basically been long enough now that when I started buying it, it's almost doubled in price, which is hilarious to think about. I should not be old enough to recognize the doubling of price of goods. That's not.
Well, there's the entire thing as well. Since the year 2000, there's a trend of energy prices and the ridiculous squeeze there has been on things like petrol. Petrol was 75 pence a litre in the year 2000, and it has routinely cycled in these upward spikes to, around about £2 at some points, and then maybe gone back, 150, 170, 180. It just keeps spiking up and up and up and up and up, and it is one of the biggest expenditures that normal people have.
I'm just checking something there. They couldn't even kick start the bloody dollar index with that increase in interest rates the other day. It's just tanked since about 1 p.m. today. That's hilarious.
Well, the pound has fallen again. I've been looking again, the ruble.
I mean, see, this is one of those things that, like, even in economics 101, they will tell you that people invest in countries with higher interest rates because it's a better rate of return. We've put the
Yes.
interest rates up, and the value of the currency has fallen, which means not only is there less demand for pounds than there was before, the people who have seen that you're putting interest rates up are now using that as a signal to get out of your economy because it's that fragile.
Well, the way it's being phrased, and it's really funny, the normies are being told that putting up interest rates is like economic growth cancer, and that if you dare to put up interest rates even slightly, it kills a country's economy.
Well, no, I
That's how
think
it's being sold to
they go
people.
on to say here,
Because
I think because they
what's
even say
happened
like
today with.
the Bank of England didn't expect any growth this year or some nonsense like that, but I think they don't have
Yes.
that anymore in here because they keep changing the bloody articles that we
Well,
see.
the dollar index has decreased. The pound has decreased. Basically, what's happened is that the Western currencies have devalued at the expense of the Eastern currencies.
In large part, but there is also the what you're also seeing is the continuous effect of a crack up boom as people with large money holdings convert that to physical goods that they reckon will be a better inflation hedge.
Yes.
As you said earlier on, buying a bottle of whiskey now that you wouldn't have otherwise bought because it's going to be worth double what you paid for it in a year anyway, so.
That's it's the whole thing of there is no point in holding reserve currencies in reserve anymore. It's a joke.
Well, in an inflationary environment, yes.
When have we not been in?
Well, not exactly. It goes to show how hard they're having to play the little balance between, printing billions and trillions and adjusting the interest rates by a quarter of a percent, not to start either a hyperinflation sort of event or the start of deflation. That they're trying to balance that really fine line of, oh, it's just inflation, don't worry.
I don't think they could, neither of them have what they would refer to as the economic instruments to deal with the current
It's
realities.
not because it's all right. The pound will not die because Boris Johnson is bringing back right to buy. Woo-hey! Don't
Well,
worry, the financial class, the banksters, the people that sort mortgages, estate agents, everything's going to be all right for them for the next couple of years because we're going to kick the housing bubble can down the road for a couple more years by selling poor people council houses they can't afford to pay the mortgage on anyway.
it's interesting because when Right to Buy first came around, a part of it was genuinely attempting to liquidate the massive amounts of non-productive, horrendous government social housing that we had and try and bring that back into the market.
But in the same vein, it also helped create the
Yes.
massive financialized housing market we have now.
What happened is we essentially went to the housing standard and
Yes.
that housing in the UK and then in the US became the basis of our currency, became the basis of everyone's wealth. Everyone's money was in their house because that's where the economy was set up. I've had to do that. I have a large amount of asset holdings, but they are like 90% of my net worth is in my house, really. And that's the way most people are. And honestly, that's the safest thing that you can do in kind of a post-80s environment. And this is again being sold as a right to buy, get rid of the social housing. But as we talked about during our infinite council state stream, there is no delineation between private and public housing anymore.
Well, they go on to say the proposal is intended to give the 2.5 million households in England who rent properties from housing associations the power to purchase their homes at a discounted price. So that, as you've just about to say there, they haven't really touched as such whether it's, obviously the Maggie Thatcher policy, buy your own council flat. Council flats are very different from housing association property, which exists in a weird public-private partnership kind of bubble. And what this will mean in a sort of lot short sense is that, what's the average price of a house in Britain now anyway? Nearly 200 grand. I can't do that maths in my head because my head's all scrambled. But, half a trillion pounds worth of mortgage equity. What, you
What
know.
they'll be able to do is, well, the thing is, it basically gets doubled on the markets as well because they're able to put it both ways. But yeah, if it's 2.5 million times 200,000, basically, God damn it, I've done that wrong. That's like five. Oh dear, that's like 500 million. Well, 500,000 million. Yeah, it's like 5 trillion in equity. You're right. You did the math correctly there.
It's a ridiculous sum of what will end up becoming fake money that keeps the whole game alive, and they've already put the interest rates up before they offer people the.
Yeah, that's the big thing. That's what I was going to talk about there, is that they've done a quote unquote rate hike, even though it's not really a rate hike. They put the rates up and now they're offering people financial instruments with those new higher rates, just coincidentally to coincide with each other.
Well, you've got to remember as well when the rates are so low, if you're paying 0.75% interest and it goes to percent interest, we think about that as nothing, but your interest payments have just increased by 25%. That's the whole issue they had in America is those variable fixed rate loan or the sort of variable fixed rate variable rate loan variable rate loans, and because they were originally so low, when they increased from 0.5% to 1% or 0.5% to 1.5%, all of a sudden your mortgage payments doubled and tripled overnight.
Well, the
So,
average UK house price is actually 274,000, but let's say the average price for council flat or the council or housing association property is 200,000. Yeah, it's 500. Sorry, it's 500 billion. It's half a trillion. Yes, in brand new assets that they will generate essentially by giving what with one hand and taking with the other. They will essentially be printing 500 billion pounds with this scheme if
Yep.
it gets full uptake.
That's another, I don't know, like 8 or 9% of the UK economy now written in debt.
Yep. Well, the big thing was that the right to buy scheme, coupled with the decoupling, it allowed the valuers to become the lenders, allowed mortgages to be sold on the open market, the whole firewall of the building societies, allowing them to basically become merchant banks in the 80s. The combination of those two is what led to the continuing housing bubbles, and it is what led to the housing currency standard we talked about. And it's really a return here where we're seeing the same old cycle again. They've got, 70s problems require 70s solutions. They don't know what else to do, but the situation is far more fragile. We're far more down the monetized, as it were, rabbit hole now.
God, yeah, I'm noticing some weird stuff here as well. This is very toe in the door about justifying the use of tax money to house people. Prices could still be too high for poorest tenants. The scheme would be similar to a council right to buy, where tenants can get a discount of up to 70% of the market price, blah, blah, blah. Tories
Yep,
ran a
yep.
policy. Critics have questioned whether it would be uptake given prices could still be too high for the poorest tenants and noted it would not be solving the housing shortage. Another proposal being developed by policy officials is for the taxpayer money paid out in housing benefit to be used to help recipients get onto the housing ladder.
There we go.
So what, the government's going to pay your mortgage?
This is what I mean by housing benefit, essentially making anyone who is a benefits recipient a council tenant. Because functionally, what's happening is the
I
council is paying for your housing.
see, I think it's slightly more than that. It's almost UBI.
Yes, it is. It has that aspect to it as well. You don't have to go through the process of like applying for a council house anymore. That's why we did the whole infinite council estate thing. It's UBI via housingization as a monetary instrument. And that's reality of it, that really anybody at
God.
any point
The
can become.
Conservatives must be the party of home ownership, and along with building more homes, finding new routes to home ownership should be at the heart of our mission. New routes to ownership. Don't you just buy the house? You can't
Yeah,
afford it.
people.
Like, the people that sell the houses have to then maybe lower the price instead of constantly giving incentives to the suppliers of houses to increase their price because they know they're going to get free money from people who have housing
It's
benefits or.
so funny that the housing market has become so indicative of people's net worth that any fall in it is seen as an absolute disaster
Well, that's normally
because it
always the
is.
thing that takes it out. I mean, that's why they're playing a very difficult, or not very difficult, but a very risky game with the drop in the in or the increase of the interest rates, because all of a sudden, if your mortgage is just doubled in payment or gone up 25%, and you're already paying double what you paid for gas and Lecky than you did last year, when you're going to make your mortgage payments? And if you're not going to be able to make your mortgage payments, are we looking at a situation whereby the government might take a mass default as an opportunity to come in and basically step in and be like, well, we'll pay for your mortgage?
Something we've talked about a year ago. We've talked about it on this stream before as well. That with the pandemic and with all of this eventually going pop, the government is going to step in as lender of last resort, but they're not going to bail out the big institutions this time like they did in 2010. They're going to say they're going to bail out the people. They're going to bail out the people
We're
kind of
going to
thing.
show those banksters what's what and bail you out, and use international money institutions instead of
Yeah.
international money being run through domestic institutions.
The boomers will be sold it as you could die in your own homes, and they
They
will,
will take that. They will, I
yeah,
think, yeah, they would take that.
they will gratefully accept that for their children being unable to inherit their properties, which are leveraged to the guilds anyway. We've talked about this as well, that though none of the wealth of the boomers that is wrapped up in their housing still exists, it's all been equity released, so they can go on their seventh cruise this
Or it's
year.
already signed away to a retirement home.
Oh yeah, or it's already signed away to a cat shelter.
No, it's like it's very much that, and the interest rate is going up at the same time. It's like one of those 1-2 punches that I just saw the other day, and I was like, wait, what is this? Is this really what we're doing now?
Yeah, the average house price in the UK is £273,000.
I think it
Who is
increased.
buying
I think
these?
it increased last month more than 10% or something, and it wasn't 10, and it was 10% in the last quarter or something like that.
Yeah, it's probably now closer to 300,000. That's from January 2022, that number.
bugger.
The last time that UK house prices decreased in any meaningful way, when was that? I think was like there was a little bit of a slight correction in, oh, look at that, 2008 to 2010. Yeah,
But
that's the only time.
the correction was pretty much wiped out by inflation in the space of about 3 or 4 years.
Oh, yeah, massively. And it wasn't even that big of a. If you look at the rise from here, I'll it's not the best chart, but I'll put it in the general here, so you can get it on. It's a PNG, unfortunately. That's a bit weird. So you can get it on stream. But the here's the here's from Halifax. Look at that rise from 95 right the way up to 2010. And look at the dip. Look at the quote unquote correction.
By the dip, nerds.
And
Oh, I
look at
need
it
to zoom in on
since as
that.
well.
Sorry, realize that was as zoomed out as it was. But yeah, no, it's the sharp uptick.
And the slight downtick. How in any way is any of like how aren't people running around screaming when they look at that?
But like, there's an interesting thing you can see here, though. 2005 is actually where the arse falls out the market.
Yeah.
And that they basically pump it full to get this rapid increase, and in 2008 it actually gives way. And you can almost see that from, the QE about 2012 onwards, it's actually just it's diminished, and they can't get the sort of magnitude of the curve out of it that they had done prior to. Now, obviously, this isn't, it depends on what the actually look at the inflation rates and relative to it and all sorts of other stuff. But that, to me, and this curve here, looks like the QE nonsense and printing money has worked insofar as the fact that they've got like an exponential increase almost. And then
Yeah.
over here, it's almost logarithmic. It's not worked. And all of a sudden, the pandemic happens and the trend corrects itself, as they would say.
It's yes. It's a self thing. Number line go back up. Normality resume.
Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain because your house price has just increased by 20 grand. You're going to be rich, don't you know? Just like everybody else. We'll all be filthy, stinking rich, every single one of us.
Well, there's the whole. We're going to have to go through it at some point. Just the numbers game of average salary, average house price, and the diminishment of that. It must be worse than it was in like the 19th century.
I'd imagine. Are you talking about the sort of the maths AA tends to do, which is
Yeah.
the median wage over median price, and it gets you the rough number of working hours to buy X, Y, or Z item? Because I reckon
Yes.
for red meat, whole milk, organic sort of like cheese and egg products, stuff that hasn't been molested with, all of that's.
Unprocessed red meat, yes.
All of that's probably got more expensive, at least since the 2000s.
Well, a lot of people have talked about they have to pump meat full of larger and larger amounts of essentially saline solution to make up the weight. That's how depraved we are. 20 to 30% of the weight of your meat is just water they're pumping into it to stop your provisions looking
Ah,
pathetic.
because otherwise your steak would be smaller than your phone.
Yeah.
It's all right though, because the phones keep getting bigger, so what do we need to worry
It's
about?
fine. It's all brine. It's all brine all the way down. It's all a conspiracy by Big Brine. Although Big Brian sounds like some very North FC meme there.
God, lady issue out in the chat's been like, I own a house in South Yorkshire. My tenants want to buy it. It is a good time to sell. I've paid off with 2,000. I lost track of the UK housing market. Bought it in 2005. Yeah, get out and double your money. Put it on silver or something.
Oh dear. God, yeah, milk has doubled in price in the last 3 months in some places. That's true. Love me house, yeah. Well, the thing is, if everyone's a homeowner and the house prices keep increasing, well, that's not a problem, is it? That it's like they're trying to solve inflation with that. It's like, well, if people have non-monetary goods
Well,
as the
just sell the
bulk of their net
excess
worth,
equity off your
yeah.
house monthly to pay for your food and energy bills.
That's essentially, that is the current boomer strategy. That is the current boomer survival strategy. That they are eroding the equity of their homes to heat them. It is, they are quite literally setting their money on fire to keep warm. And yeah, rights. The problem with the whole right to buy thing is, what you'd actually have to do is you'd have to evict all those council tenants and put all these properties on the open market for it to have any sort of beneficial effect,
Wait.
instead of creating these mass financial instruments to
Well,
give
because
essentially wasters
you're
a
not
house.
putting new people in homes. You're putting people that are already in homes under the auspice that they are homeowners, so they can bump the numbers up. It's Blair magic. It's Blair number magic, where you stop reporting or you stop taking in the total number of reports of crimes that you were beforehand, and the number of crimes go down. In the same way, well, that there's not any less homeless people, but now there's a new, 2.5 million homeowners, so someone must be happy.
It's very hate crimes have gone up because of non-crime hate incidents. It's home ownership has gone up because we now class council tenants who are paying council rent. Those have been redefined as mortgages. That is quite literally what is happening. It's all so tiresome. We're getting through these at quite a brisk pace, though. That's good.
Shall we go on to the next one? Because this is one I found. This is one of those ones I read, and I was just like, "You cheeky fuckers! Like, are we really at this point of this story arc already? We're already at the is Russia better off without Putin? The answer is changing." We've long assumed that regime change in Russia can make repression and aggression worse. Our research suggests otherwise.
Who is we and what is this res
Andrea Kendall Taylor is senior fellow at the director of the Transatlantic Security Program for the Center for a New American Security. See, I hate these bloody who what American person thought that read well? The Transatlantic
Center for
Security
New American Security. This is like
Security
peak.
Program at the Center for a New American Security. It's too many words. Fucking wind your neck in. The Yanks.
It was only founded in 2007, by the way,
Who by?
by some guy called Richard Fontaine.
Oh, I've heard that name before. I have definitely heard that name before. Richard Fontaine. I want to say that's somebody like Ryan Dawson, the guy that does the anti-neocon report, talks about.
Apparently, he used to be the Undersecretary for Defense Policy or something like that. That's a very, very interesting one there. Yeah, something existed in 2007. Kurt and Campbell, blah blah blah. Basically, it's peak Quango. And Andrea Kendall Taylor, the double-barreled last name there. It's very, oh God, it's this is like peak managerial class. Yeah, she's some late 30s blonde woman who looks like she should be like running a nail salon.
Ugh. Yeah, because
Andrea Kendall Taylor.
this article's written terribly as well, but it's just like very telling. As
Oh
the
God.
US and its allies
Kendall
increase.
Taylor. No, no, wait. This is relevant. Keep that in mind. Kendall Taylor served for 8 years as a senior intelligence officer. So she's a fucking, she's a CIA spook.
CIA spook working at neocon outlet, writing articles for Politico about how we should think about regime change. This is new.
Thank you, CIA woman, for telling us about how we should undertake regime change in Russia.
Yeah, very CIA of you. Yeah, as the US and its allies increase their commitment to arming Ukraine, there's growing speculation over President Joe Biden's endgame. Although the White House has gone to great lengths to say the United States does not have a policy of promoting regime change in Russia, there's no question that there has been much discussion in private conference rooms and over kitchen tables about whether the United States should, in fact, blah, blah, blah. I love that. Like, the United States does not have a policy of regime change in Russia. Someone grabbed me, like, the this is not a coup image.
Yeah.
God.
God.
Did you guys see Elon bringing up Soros and other orgs behind? I actually couldn't give a shit about Elon Musk and what he's saying on Twitter. That is just all appeasement, as far as I'm concerned, and it's why we're
God,
not talking about it.
she might even still work at the CIA.
There's no such thing as an
Well,
ex-CIA person.
I think she's still a senior analyst, or at least a senior analyst consultant. They might still they're not just they I think they still sign her paychecks basically
That was
while
a.
she's part of the Transatlantic Security Program Council. It's very Council on Foreign Relations. Sorry, go on.
And obviously, there's no such thing as an ex spook. I'm trying to remember where was the. There was a paragraph I cut out of this to. I mean, it's quite a long one. Oh, not quite a long one, but it's very dense and very wordy and full of social science nonsense. And trying to like paint Dmitry Medvedev as like the good guy. And is like their guy and all this kind of stuff. Where's
I
the give me a
is this
second.
in like reaching out to him almost because Medvedev is not that
No,
guy.
I know exactly. That's why I find it so strange, because it's like they're not just also slandering him too for some reason. Where is it? Here we go. In our research, we have analyzed the leadership transitions of autocrats who have been in power for 20 years or more, as Putin has been, to gauge what is likely to happen once Putin leaves power. We're already trying to work out what will happen once Putin leaves power. This is a reality we've already considered at the CIA, don't you know? Narrowing in on
Yes.
a subset of long-time leaders is important because most authoritarian leaders govern for less than a decade, and the political outcomes that follow long-time leaders' departures from office differ considerably from less durable authoritarian peers. The historical track record of long-time autocrats suggests that if Putin existed as a result of domestic dynamics, that is, from coup, protests, or natural death in office, Russia's political trajectory would be unlikely to get worse in terms of repression and aggression than it is now, and might even improve.
Wait a minute. What are they? Natural eggs. What is this language here? The natural. The way that's phrased. Putin. Yeah. Domestic dynamics. Natural death in office. Coup protest. Yeah, what they're saying is wink, wink, nod, nod. We're gonna do another quote unquote revolution of dignity to
Yeah.
Russia. We're gonna try and Ukrainify Russia,
Pretty much.
which the result of that would probably be a Chinese invasion of Russia. But let's not talk about that.
Oh. No, they then use other examples of nonsense and Côte d'Ivoire and Robert Mugabe, and then, as I said, they go on to Medvedev, and they try and say, like, well, there was no change of policy when he came in briefly as Prime Minister. And then where's the other bit here where they
It's because
talk
he
about
never was.
chances for liberalisation would be even greater if Putin exits amid street protests instead of a coup. In the 5-year period after protests unseated post-Cold War long-time autocrats, all countries but one saw a new regime emerge, and importantly, in half of these cases, the new regime was democratic. This is because when protests unseat a leader, the transition is often accompanied by a more significant turnover among the ruling elite relative to other modes of transitions like coups. And even if a democracy doesn't emerge immediately, the historical record shows that the levels of repression tend to improve in the years following a long-time authoritarian leader's exit. Oh, these protests that show up, these grassroots revolutions we have in all these countries.
Oh yeah,
that...
like the protests in Libya.
Or Tunisia, or
yeah, let's have a
Egypt,
look.
Or Iraq and Iran and Syria. And...
Syria. Let's check in on the Arab Spring, shall we, you fucking glowy cunt. Good lord. Our model shows. Again, it's the appeal to the fucking communist machine gods there that they're doing. It's just like, well, we fed it into the computer, and the computer says that we're right.
And then just the last paragraph here. The United States has long had a Russia challenge, but in the last 2 months it's become evident that it will be impossible to address that broader challenge with Putin still in power. Of course, it would be imprudent for the United States to adopt a formal policy of regime change, but Washington not pull any punches in fear that what follows Putin would be worse. The patterns of post-Cold War history suggest that political dynamics in Russia are likely to get worse and might even get better once Putin departs. Departs, I'm sure he will. He'll depart like the, what was it? What was the guy's name? Who was the president from 2011 to 2014 and they did the Euromaidan coup and got rid of him. Not Litvinenko, what was his bloody name?
Yeah, I know who you mean.
But I'm sure he will depart, or Putin will depart, like Litvin or whatever his name is. I'll try and the bloody Substack thing. Give me a second.
I God, I've got his name as well.
There we go. Yanukovych or something like that. Anyway,
yeah, Yanukovych. Yes.
Yanukovych, and he's his board of sorry, Poroshenko was like their op dude and the intermediary, because
yeah.
I found this out just by looking at Wikipedia of all places that
yes,
Poroshenko was the man that ran the TV network that put like what's his name now, Zelensky or whatever.
Zelensky as the president, yes.
Yes, and that was on Poroshenko's network using Western money, which I always thought was hilarious. But
he's basically Ukraine's like Michael Bloomberg.
But Yankovic, anyway, he and his government board of 12 folk all just left Ukraine all of a sudden, and then 8 of them turned up dead, committing suicide in Russia. Like, oh, I'm
yep.
sure they did. The Cerberus in the chat there, 20 gram pouch of tobacco for $20, laughs in Australia, try almost $80. Yeah, but what's your currency worth, though? You know,
yeah, that's the point. Australian dollars is like fun money.
Yeah, so. Yeah, that's why they're funny colours. If your money's funny colours, that's because they're funny prices. The
like
Canadians,
the, Euro bills.
The Canadians have known this for a while.
God, that's very funny when you get into the way that some euros look in certain countries is just hilarious. Like, who do you think you're kidding? This isn't money. Ah, oh, Yanukovych. Dear. But yeah, this is exactly what they're talking about, though. This is literally a CIA spook. Senior intelligence officer at the CIA. CNN intelligence analyst. It really does show the porous nature that everyone you see who is within any kind of position of power in, you know, we're going to talk about the mold bug stuff, but in the cathedral, as we can nominally call it, is a fucking, like, child burning fed.
Richard Fontaine doesn't have his own wiki page.
It seems to have been removed.
Yeah, foreign policy advisor to Senator John McCain.
Oh, God.
I knew I'd heard of him before.
But that reminds me of my best McCain joke.
What, that his bloody tumour won a Nobel Peace Prize?
That's a good one, too. No, that he asked, he's the only person to be turned down by the Make-A-Wish Foundation because they said they can't drone strike a Yemeni village. God damn it. Yeah, fucking Weird Al. It's funny. Yeah, Weird Al Yankovic, former president of Ukraine. God, Weird Al Yanukovych needs to be a shoot now.
We are basically already at that point, let's be honest.
Yes, we are.
Shall we get into the Vanity Fair article then?
Yeah, there's gonna be a few streams covering this afterwards. Actually, there's a stream tonight by Prudentialist at about midnight UK time that will be doing this in depth. But yeah, we can talk about to set it up. There's been a bizarre pivot I found in certain centers of media have seemed to collect together and decide that in and around from about April 19th. Till about the end of April, about a 10-day span, we got basically a story a day about Curtis Yarvin, Mencius Mobog. You may know him as, because he is essentially they're essentially trying to polish him up into the regime representative of the what they're referring to as the new right, even though that's a bit of a meaningless term because a lot of people have adopted that moniker before. But it seems that Moebug Yavin is being played up as essentially
He's
the
the
God
new
King.
like edgy group to put on like the right plank of the IDW. And I think the most interesting thing that will happen out of any of this is to see whether or not he plays up to that role. Because I think someone like very obviously a Sam Harris or that Peter Boghossian dude or the Weinstein brothers, and to a slightly lesser degree, a Jordan Peterson or people in that sphere have at times played up to the role they know is being put upon them. And it's just like, well, is he going to go and do the same thing here? It's very strange, as you said, all of a sudden all these outlets in the space of the last year or so have just come out and said, here's this mold bug dude, he's the cornerstone of the new right, which
Not
I
even the
don't...
last year, the last 10 days.
Yeah, and
Like
I...
all of mo most of what we'll be looking at here has come out in the last week.
Well, no, I'd like... I'm not even sure I necessarily agree with the sentiment that he is as a cornerstone of the new right in any kind of way. God, I've just noticed his newest article on his Substack, Varoufakis and Bitcoin Maximalism. Dear God, I do not want to read
Well,
that.
he isn't. He is essentially an anachronism now. I would say he's somebody who was had some interesting ideas in 2007, maybe through about 2014, but outside of that, he's essentially become an artifact of these things we've been rediscovering, rather than being on the bleeding edge of it. Moebug's best work is far behind him.
Yes. Well, he is someone who basically, in a lot of ways, regurgitated points from Hopper and Carlyle and
And St. Francis.
I don't know if Sam Francis was someone who really talked about at any great length because he doesn't. At least the stuff I've seen from him, and I might be wrong in this, he doesn't focus on the nature of the managerial state. He just takes it as a given, which is fair enough. But I think there is something to be learned from actually trying to understand the nature of it. There's something I also find strange. I mean, who was this article written by? I don't know who James Pogue is. Pogue's a fucking shit name. I'm sure his fucking mum and dad are like IRA sycophants and think they're really proud. But there was like one point in here where but these people, oh, but these people describe who made up most of the party goers, blah 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 blah, podcasters, blah, blah, blah. They go on to talk about Uncle Ted, which I'm gonna, as I said to you, I'm gonna claim the fact that that was in some way my doing, the popularization of that phrase. But yeah, this worldview, these run worldviews run counter to the American narrative of the last century. The economic growth, technological innovation are inevitably, God, there's one of the, I cannot find it now, but it was. Basically, the guy that had written this showed himself as someone who completely does not understand what we are up to or what we are doing or how even intellectual things even come together in any sort of sense, because he said that, like, oh well, a lot of what the NRX talk about is just truism in regards to the nature of power. And reading back through some of Mises in the last couple of days, I am reminded of how much he teaches you through tautologies. And that what you are doing when you read a lot of elite theory stuff, or even a lot of the stuff from Ellul and a number of thinkers who are trying to get to the source sort of action and motivations that drive whatever sort of social system or social change, that they have to do it through sort of tautologist facts in some kind of way, which is kind of what Moldbug does, because he talks about the nature of power and things like that. And he's like, well, yeah, yes. they're just saying things that people already take as a given. And yeah, that's exactly the problem, is all these people take those things as a given because they don't understand that they need to know why at least those things are a given and what that teaches you. I don't know.
It really just skip a few steps.
Yeah, or they're missing the most vital step, which is these things are given, ergo.
Yes. They don't... It doesn't teach you anything. It doesn't. You can't have the logical conclusion of it without having it there. It really is. Well, there's this big vague regime, but don't really think it's just like it's like a framing device. It's like the, you know, the red pill thing that he's always credited with that I don't think really was him. It's a vague, fuzzy aha moment for essentially people in the right wing equivalent of the manosphere in some ways.
Mm.
A lot of it is almost like empty sloganeering. Well, there isn't really a lot of substance to just saying the cathedral.
Yes. I think that there is some of his stuff that is useful. And I would never go at someone for the whole, well, their work's not original, because no right-wing work is original. We're all just talking about the same things over and over again until we eventually understand it properly. And in doing so, he's probably played a very important role in that and reinvigorating sort of energy around a lot of thinkers. But as we look at with all stuff as of late, we need to think about where that energy is being directed. And if that energy is being directed to Substack payments, books that don't come out, and blockchain, then that's not good for us.
No. And it's also this weird, this James Pogue or whatever it is, definitely doesn't understand what the new right is.
No, he very obviously doesn't.
The new right. He doesn't understand on an intellectual level, it's a very long article, what is going on here.
Yeah, so it's like an hour, podcast that you can listen to or something.
Yes, as well.
So it must be, what, like 8,000 words? That's ridiculous.
Maybe the podcast is something slightly separate. I don't think this is 8,000 words. It might be close, though. There's a lot of stuff in here where he thinks that Moldbug's a monarchist, but not really. And he talks about like techno futurism and Silicon Valley bro stuff.
Yeah.
But he talks about like black pill and red pill. Yeah, sorry. Some weird anthropological terms he's never heard of.
With influences ranging from 17th century Jacobite royalists to Marxist cultural critiques to so-called reactionary feminists to the Unabomber Ted Kaczynski, whom they sometimes refer to with semi-ironic affection, ironic, as Uncle Ted, which is to say that the new right is not a part of the conservative movement as most people in America would understand it. It's better described as a tangled set of frameworks for critiquing the systems of power and propaganda that most people reading this probably think of as the way the world is. In one point, shapes all of it. It is a project to overthrow the thrust of progress, at least such as liberals understand the word. I mean, it's like he's kind of got halfway there, but the throwaway bit of like, oh, well, it's just the way the world is. Is he just like, well, you know, I'm actually a conservative because I believe in the status quo and you guys are all just radicals. Ugh.
Well, it's the whole framing of conservatism is what it is currently.
Well, yeah, there's also someone in the chat there saying reactionary feminism, Yes, as long as you aren't like, as long as you're a TERF, as far as moderate conservatives are concerned, you're a reactionary to them because you're radical on that one issue. So despite the fact that you might believe in civil rights, universal basic income, the NHS, hate speech laws, you might agree with all that stuff, but you might just not be pro-trans, so that makes you reactionary.
Again, that has another plank to having your mind occupied by hating the Chinese, is that you make terrible political alliances with 1970s political lesbians because you want to own the rainbow people, and you end up completely legitimizing their ideas and absorbing them into your movement because you're a fucking idiot and you don't understand that the enemy of your enemy is not your friend, especially if they are being pushed very firmly in your direction as like a poison pill.
I'd see. I think also part of the reason why this article comes very alien to me is that we aren't involved in like the who's who of like conservative organization in America. As you mentioned before, I think you probably get a lot more interesting take on this from Prudentialist later on in the stream he's going to be on, because they'll probably have a better idea of some of the people in this and.
Well, he's got an editor like who's worked for people like The Spectator, I think, on. He's got some like actual quote unquote right wing media figure, and I'd be fascinated what the take is from him on this, because that'll give us some idea of where maybe this is going. Because honestly, like you do, I think of Moldbug as a curiosity from about 2007.
Lol, what the fuck is this shit? Some of Yarvin's writings from then is so radically right-wing that it almost has to be read to be believed. Like the time he critiqued the attacks by Norwegian far-right terrorist Anders Behring Breivik, who killed 77 people, including dozens of children at a youth camp, not on the grounds that terrorism is wrong, but the killings wouldn't do anything to overthrow what Yarvin called Norway's communist government. Is that just trolling, or is that something like. That's got to be trolling, surely. He argued that Nelson Mandela, once head of the military wing of the African National Congress, had endorsed terror tactics and political murder against opponents, and said anyone who claimed Saint Mandela was more innocent than Breivik might have a mother you'd like to fuck. Bruh,
Yeah,
that's just funny.
like I said, he used to be a lot more vital than he is now. He used to have an energy about him that he doesn't have now, and I don't dislike the man. I think he's very good. He was very good on Tucker when they had him on, but he's very much a white red version of his former self. And like I said,
Joe,
his most relevant period was.
the best stuff I have ever listened to or heard from him or whatever else was some of the early conversations he had with Pete Q at like the start of
Yes.
2020, where him and Pete Q were just bullshitting. It wasn't even like a
Yep.
serious discussion, and for all of 45 minutes, there was not an or a sure, or anything like that. Because, like, he clearly wasn't trying to keep up some kind of, like, presence or image. He was just, like, caught in some sort of autistic, like, babble back and forth with someone that he was obviously clearly very interested in. And that was so much more entertaining than any other stuff I've seen him do. I will be totally honest.
The problem I have with him is that he disappears up his own arse for periods at a time. Like he did with the whole China is based on COVID stuff, like he does with a lot of other specialist subjects. A lot of his talking is very scattershot, and sometimes it feels like he's about to break into a 7-hour video about the Star Wars films.
And he also writes for tablet.
Well, we can get into that because God, my Twitter's been yeeted, so I can't. I have the archives of the guy, because there's a guy for Tablet Magazine, who was being praised, but he's one of the people who like stabbed Sam Francis in the back. Oh God. Yeah, God, the importance of James Burnham. There he is, Lind, Michael fucking Lind.
Ah, this is the guy we've been talking about as well, because we've now got his book downstairs, the New Class
We have,
War,
yes.
as he calls it.
It's as what's it talk about? It wasn't Gottfried. It was there was a review in Chronicles Mag of that, basically accusing him of ripping off Sam Francis and watering down Leviathan and its enemies. Which is funny because that is essentially what he did. Poor man Sam. Yeah, Pedro Gonzalez just called him straight up a poor man Sam Francis in the title.
That's funny.
And there's a the second thing that comes up is actually one of Sam Francis' last articles, American Conservative, in which he refers to Michael Lind basically as an establishment court jester. And refers to him as one of the Brahmin class of American establishment conservatives who gets buttressed by the left. It's some great stuff in there. But yeah, that's Tablet Magazine. Tablet Magazine very much is one Zionist. It's a very Zionist publication. And it hosts a lot of people who helped in the murder of the old right in the 1980s, the murder of the last gaps of it in the 1980s and 90s, the murder really of people like Rothbard and Sam Francis. They became non-entities
Buchanan to
because
some
of,
extent,
yeah.
and possibly also Buckley a little bit as well, if he wasn't
Yep.
quite dead by then, which I'm not too sure. I might be wrong in that. No, I'm scrolling through this. Is there anything in it particularly you're after? Because it's just
What, the Tablet magazine article?
Yeah, because it just seems like the sort of general stuff he would go on about. There's a bit of Moscow, and he's talking about democracy and the usual
It's
stuff.
based. Yeah, he's using the whole play on bizarre as a play on words, but he's basically talking about the cathedral, academia, the interplay of these different structures. It's like Moldbug by numbers. It's like if you fed some of his more
Yeah.
basic
The
stuff into like an
fundamental
algorithm.
historical problem of the current period is why, though we can buy our ideas from any stall in a huge open-air bazaar, they all seem to come from the same manufacturer, exactly as if made in some cathedral. Yet there is no such conspiracy and certainly no such agency. No person or institution is coordinating the party line. No comment. Yeah, and then what was the. There was some other one as well. Was this for the one from The Statesman that you were saying is meant to be about. Where is it the. No, it's not. This is the. I've got the.
It's a New Statesman article here. Well, I'll go on. I'll bookend this. He's been it raised a few eyebrows in the normal sphere that Curtis Yarvin is now palatable enough to have a byline in something like Tablet Magazine,
Oh, the
which is
related
seen.
article with a little stupid painting of him. News, the Red Pill Prince, how computer programmer Curtis Yarvin became America's most controversial political theorist. What about,
I was going into
what, more
that.
controversial than, like, George Lincoln Rockwell or Malcolm X or. Yeah, sure,
Or
buddy.
Sam Francis.
Yeah. Ah, fuck's sake.
No, they did. I was going to say they did a profile on him as well, which basically was the center ground of gently condemning him as the far end of what is politically acceptable and a point that can be compromised from. He is the far end, and in between him and these horrendous neocon establishment conservatives will be the compromise position of the quote unquote radical intellectual right, like the
Yeah.
Randians in the 80s and 90s did.
Don't
He is
you know
essentially.
these new GOP members are Yarvinites?
He, and it's going to be used in the left. It's going to be used. Well, he already is used. I've got a few of them up here as well. There's an article here from The Intercept that we'll get into, which is talking about, Yarvin is this terrible right wing alt right, I'm foaming at the mouth, because he is, like I said, he's become the new Rand within, the far seen as the radical cutting edge section of the Republican Party, the new right or whatever. And those ideas will never be brought on wholesale, but what you'll get is he lends them credibility,
God,
and I
I've
think
just
that's the
noticed
trajectory.
the weird open the scroll. Da. Yeah, no,
Now it's.
Curtis Yarvin is so controversial. He is writing in Zionist magazines, and well, people are, I don't know, we've memory wiped the fact that David Duke used to be a part of, like, paleoconservatism for a while. You
Yes,
know, the
we've.
Jewish programmer is more controversial than the literal ex-grand dragon of the KKK.
He's also like.
Oh, it's so fucking silly.
Also, if you've ever seen interviews and discussions with him, he's an inoffensive rambler in some ways. He's somebody who will talk around a topic, but he's not a firebrand. He's not a particularly
He is not
concise
Hitler,
figure.
let's put it that way.
No. No. No, he is not. He's not. He's
Unless he's playing a really good game and he's got one hell of a mask.
gonna say we need someone who's a bit less Curtis Jarvan and a lot more Fred Phelps.
Yes, exactly. Again, there's another, like, what, Fred Phelps isn't, one of America's most, or was one of America's most controversial thinkers.
God hates Australia.
Or even Alex Jones. I mean,
Yeah.
you go around and ask, I'd imagine, anyone in any small town about America, in America, about Alex Jones, you will either get a he's great or he's terrible, which to me means he's probably pretty controversial. However, you go and ask them, oh, do you know about Curtis Yarvin? I don't think one of them would know, would they?
No. They perched him there as an intellectual curiosity, dangling his little toes over the edge of the Overton window. That is his, it seems to be his part in the dialectic now, where people can treat him as, ooh, the dark figure, ooh, isn't he interesting? And then other people can go, ooh, isn't he terrible? Ooh, him, the pantomime can rage around it. And like I said, there'll be some weird neocon compromise of these ideas
See,
in which they can pretend they've adopted them,
is this
whilst
also
also
possibly
not.
part of the problem of the fact that it's America, so being a monarchist over there is controversial, and them looking at
Yes.
someone who is effectively, like a Roger Scruton or a Peter Hitchens, they're like, oh, they're all losing their fucking minds, or at least try to pretend they are, and they are taking advantage of the fact that, people in Britain are maybe not familiar with Peter Hitchens, but they'll be familiar with a lot of the things he will say. But people in
Yes.
America will also not be familiar with Curtis Yarvin and will also not be familiar with the stuff he says.
I think Hitchens is a good example because Hitchens is also a very
Yeah,
spent force.
Seven Thomas 777 on Tucker when
Oh, God.
he can turn up in all the fucking gear and the leather vest and that with a hat.
Oh, dear. It's like somebody fixed Razor Fist.
Nah, as if Razor Fist took crack for a decade or two.
And then decided to not be a cringe Randian.
Yeah.
God, he got extremely mad about being called a neocon. Can imagine being a Randian and having all your supposedly super edgy ideas subsumed by
Get Alan
essentially,
fucking Greenspan.
and the
Ben
cool kids
Bernanke.
wing. The cool kids' wing of the Bush administration, who then use it as a dialectic to make the entire intellectual basis of the era as Rand and Rand versus Jesus,
Oh hell yeah!
but
Like
like the
what's his name? Like all the obscure figures, like Neil Gorsch and all those kind of weird folk.
I don't know. I part of me hopes that Yavin has enough go in him to get to a position in which he can come out and just like, savage these people and explode whatever kind of kudos he has in one big display of no, I am not part of your tribe,
Yeah.
but unfortunately he is part of their tribe, so that's very unlikely. That's very unlikely. Oh dear, it's the small hat paradox wanders onwards. But
Yeah.
shall we get into this New Statesman article because it's bizarre.
I was gonna go for the Intercept one first.
Okay, we'll do the Intercept one. They're
I
both.
just find it really funny because you posted this earlier on. I didn't realize they were calling it the new right, which is
The
terrible writing.
new right. Yeah,
But
it's
the
where
new
the
right
Hoover
was
from.
forged in greed and white backlash is like literally the rhetoric Hillary Clinton was saying about like Trump. We are literally having Clinton re rhetoric regurgitated 6 years later to us.
By Natasha Leonard from The Intercept.
Which
Yes.
Israeli institutions do you get money from, and which Palestinian ones do you donate it to?
Yeah, me. It's yep, author, blah 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 blah. Very, 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 very boilerplate online journalist person. But what they are saying here, you're right, it is Clinton rhetoric. They go on to say that well, let me actually skip slightly to the bit.
Is there a specific bit you're wanting out of this? Oh God,
Yeah, the...
new right of Ronald Reagan. Arr, not true.
You know what? I'll just read it, not in its entirety, but I'll read this first section here. The US has seen no fewer than three political movements broadly described as new right. There was the first new right of William F. Buckley, Barry Goldwater, and the conservative student groups, where with their right libertarianism, anti-communism, and emphasis on social values. The second generation and the moniker, the new right of Ronald, the new right of Ronald Reagan, Jerry Falwell, and both George Bushes leaned harder into conservative Christianity, populism, and free.
Did they know? Did they know?
This is what normies actually believe.
Yeah.
This is conservative history as taught to people in like universities. If you are a young Republican with an IQ of about 110, this is what you think your history is, and this is what you
Ronald
think.
Reagan was a hero.
Ronald Reagan was a conservative who bravely wrestled away
Could you
the
imagine what like 17-year-old Zoomer, like GOP young folk think about George Bush?
Yeah. They think he's a bastion of the old ways. They think he's some like sage of a more civil process that someone like Trump was the end of. He was the end of this era of respectable conservatism, like George W. Bush. Anyway, these new right waves were different, largely in tone and presentation. There was considerable overlap in ideology and even personnel, or at least they're admitting it. The high-minded conservatism of Buckley and the pandering conservatism of Bush have never been oppositional approaches, despite attempts to explain them this way. It's all re like they just can't come out and say it's all regime, but they're basically saying it's all they're codifying this as all regime. Every version of the new right has been propelled by more or less explicit white supremacist backlash and robust funding. That contradicts itself. Now in the era of Trumpian reaction, we are seeing reports about a new right.
Well, there is an interesting bait and switch they're playing there, though.
Yeah.
Where mentally the image is white supremacist backlash is like 85 IQ grugs, ooh, blacks, ooh, and then robust funding, as if white supremacy as a movement has an elite backing. Which, for leftists who are supposed to believe in grassroots movements and engage in grassroots activism, it's a funny thing for them to point out. But again,
Yes.
it's one of those things that bloody. Mises mentioned earlier on in Human Action that the whole essence of a lot of Marxian sort of thought is just, well, you're bourgeois, you're X, you're Y, or Z, so you'll be attacked for that, and you'll be attacked for the fact that you've got elite backing, despite the fact that we've got elite backing, but our elite backing is of the good proletariat vanguard, of course.
Of course. Now in the era of Trumpian reaction, we are seeing reports about a new right. Like the new rights that came before it, it's a loose constellation of self-identifying anti-establishment, allegedly heterodox reactionaries. The newest of the rights is similarly fueled by the disaffection with liberal progress myths and united by white supremacist backlash, this time with funding largely from billionaire Peter Thiel. Yeah, they're wheeling out the Thiel books narrative, which is kind of a joke.
Oh God, they
The
then
new
go
right
and
is.
mention the bloody Vanity Fair article that we've just read.
Yes. Well, this is what I mean by a narrative being formed around
Yeah.
it. The new right has made headlines in recent weeks. In particular, Vanity Fair published a thoroughly and thoughtfully reported feature detailing the emergence of rising right-wing circles made up of highly educated Twitter posters, podcasters, artists, and even online philosophers. Most notably, the neo-monarchist blogger Curtis Yarvin. New York Times dedicated a fluffy feature to the founding of niche online magazine Compact. I don't even know who the fuck Compact is. Do you know who Compact is?
I've heard of it, and I think it was something that possibly Gavin MacInnison was involved in before, however,
Oh,
I'm not too sure.
God.
Compact
Yeah,
is
they're talking
like
about JD
tacky
Vance.
magazine and stuff like that. At least I think.
Yeah, alongside GOP candidates for office like JD Vance and Blake Masters, this motley scene follows the ideological weft and warp of Trumpist nationalism. They're trying to all tie it together. They're trying to make the narrative make sense, and they're trying to essentially prepare people But if the stuff that we're doing ever breaches like the ideological dam and ends up in people's laps, that they can contextualize it in a way that doesn't completely fry their nappers, doesn't completely explode their heads, because they've been told that the left-right dynamic, it's really just, it's patrolling and saying, oh, it's just another form of white backlash, guys. It's just the same thing. It's just exactly what we've seen before, and we're going to use the same terms, we're going to use the same rhetoric, and we're not going to, deliberately not going to engage with it, because they can't engage with it, really. It's very, very different to what they've talked about as the other new rights, because they were all establishment projects, essentially.
God, yeah, there's some weird stuff here. Again, there's more of that crap from that Vanity Fair article. They're basically just stolen. The problem is that characters like Yarvin had another choice. The march to the far right is no more inexorable than misplaced faith in liberal progress. There is a whole swath of the contemporary left that also wholly rejects liberal establishment powers, the logic of the capitalist state, and liberalism's progressive myths. Rejection of the liberal progress propaganda has been a theme of left-wing writing, including mine, for years, and I'm hardly alone. Such positions are definitive of a radical anti-fascist, anti-racist left.
You can't use our tactics and rhetoric, guys.
Yeah, you can't engage in a class war. You can't point out that the fact that the liberal state just holds us back as a stopgap and uses like useful idiots. You can't do that. That's not fair. God, and if it's not the key source of funding, Thiel's fortunes skyrocketed due to President Donald Trump's racist immigration policies.
Yeah, Thiel's rich, not because he's Mr. PayPal, but because of Donald Trump's immigration authority. Yeah, sure. Oh dear. It really is. It's an attempt to make this make sense to like the leftist activist class,
Well, yeah,
because they have no.
some of the chats are saying they're the real radical movement when the grey zone exists. Exactly, because I'd imagine these people would call the folk from the grey zone like transphobes and tankies and Stalinists and
Yes.
shit like that. Which is why
It's
the
very
people from the
funny.
grey zone are much more agreeable.
It's very funny seeing The Intercept, which was nominally like G Glenn Greenwald dot publication, become essentially Salon, and have people like Natasha Lennard come out here and defend CIA. There's a lot of defense of CIA agents that goes on The Intercept now and things like that. It's funny, because what it shows is that unless you are explicitly, completely, really rejecting of any of the narratives of the current thing, that you will end up subsumed by these people. There's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah, the decision of the disaffected to join the forces of reaction might appear understandable when it is presented as the only route for those willing to challenge the yoke of liberal capitalism and its pieties. This is harder to justify on those terms when it is clarified that an anti-capitalist left exists. The difference is that, unlike the new right, the far left abhors white supremacist patriarchy and rejects the obvious fallacy that there is something pro-worker or anti-capitalist about border rule and labour segmentation. What, is this woman like a full-on Trotskyist and she believes like the division of labour is like a psyop?
I think so.
Christ. Well, shall we go on to the New Statesman one then? Because I've had enough of that IQ draining nonsense.
This is basically an appeal to the activist class. It's like, please, I know these people's messaging makes more sense, but please don't join these people.
Yeah, I'm almost surprised she's not going onto the lines of like calling Yarvin a Zionist, which will probably be the next move. It'll be the one, you know,
Possibly,
they
yes.
can't get him for being a white supremacist because he's Jewish. They can't get him for being, you know,
It's
specifically a capitalist or a communist because he doesn't really tend to. Ugh.
well, it's an admission that within their dialectic, everything he's saying is right. They're just saying he's racist, so you shouldn't listen to him.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's funny that that's all they have. It's the impetuousness is funny. It's like, you can't say that. Where don't know why are you getting more attention than me? It's like, I because I don't believe in some like massive, like Bolotto movement of like pod workers, who are like wired into their fucking soy feeding tubes.
Yeah,
That's
getting their
just the
15-minute VR porn breaks and their 12-hour Amazon VR shelf grabbing shift.
You can't believe in borders. The division of labor isn't real, guys. It's fucking it is again, there's nothing to be gained from engaging with those people. And there'll be people out there who've engaged with that article honestly. Like they'll try and pick apart the points in there. They'll try and make the watertight logical argument about why what they're saying is wrong, rather than realize that this person is a propagandist begging people to stay within their lane essentially, and signaling that if you even express curiosity about these people, you'll be excommunicated. And by the way, that's a point of strength. It's something we need to do. It's effective tactically. The rhetoric on display may be annoying, and the writing style may be very, very, I'm an 85 IQ woman. But the sentiment there, and the sentiment of those on the left who very much patrol what people can believe, is very it's very much a tactic that we're seen as not being allowed to adopt. But it's very much a tactic we need to start adopting.
Well,
It's like,
yeah,
hey, you know what?
it's one thing I've said to a number of people. It's like, oh, but we need Sargon because he needs to bring in more people. And I keep thinking, like, why do we need more people? I mean, it's something I ended up asking someone for to get some numbers about because I will eventually write something about it. But like, why do we need more people? It's Sargon has however many hundreds of thousands of people following him. Lenin only needed 12. Why do we need the mass movement? The mass movement grows itself when your vanguard is functioning properly. And that is what the left is doing time and time again. They never really have to make calls for mass action. That's something that the state does because it can do it, ab ovo almost. It doesn't require some prior legitimacy or argument or some prior narrative because it is the state and it is the law. In regards to leftist activism, as long as they, clip the shape so it's nice and round and they understand what it is and who what we're talking about and who are the good guys and who are the bad guys, then the rest of it kind of falls into play. And that seems to be something that we're not capable of doing. The folk that are writing
It's
that Intercept article aren't saying, I'm going to write this article because we need to have another 40,000 people read The Intercept because that's going to make a difference. No, as you said, they're writing that article because they're making it known that if you are at all want to have any sort of hands crossed conversation with the, neo-reactionary people, so it's a wink and a nod to the tankies that if you are with these people, you aren't with us anymore.
It, again, it's very effective because the messaging is genuinely quite ubiquitous. But we'll get into as a last thing this bizarre New Statesman article that feels like they've been given a note to say, hey, we need some of this narrative.
Well, no, I hate this whole, disinformation governance board, which implies that it is also an information governance board.
Yeah.
Which, is Ministry of Truth. Like, come on, we're basically there. something, something, George Orwell, this, that, and the next thing.
It's the pretension that this didn't already exist, that this is something that we're fighting against rather than a reality that we've had for decades, and the reality that we've really had throughout the history of like managerial democracy, that we are moving into these dark times rather than this being the way things are and things functioning as intended, and then basically coming out and agitating, and they'll get, well, we did it, guys. We defeated the disinformation board. Everything's going to go back to the neutral point.
Yeah, well, it says I'll be honest, I was going to take a look through this article beforehand, but I really haven't as much as I should. But it's just like,
Excuse me.
so they're talking about that Nina Jankovic bird who made an
Yeah.
arse of herself on TikTok, has already got involved in a sex scandal, and has done a million and six other things. And much of the same vein as that Madison Crawford did from the GOP, who's also been caught in a million and six different sex scandals. Because I actually messaged Prude about this on a Telegram at one point in his chat, It seems to me like they're basically trying to like drown out political sex scandals by just having loads of young people involved in politics that have had a million and six different. I mean, like that one they've got in the UK now, the young guy who's part of the Tory party and he's meant to be trans, but he was also supposedly raped because some guy shagged him and didn't wear a condom, and he's never been the same since. But also overlook the fact that he was involved in some form of sugar daddy network or something like that.
Yeah,
Don't
that
mention
was
that. But it seems to me like what we're getting this, you know, near drowning out of sex scandal stories to the point whereby no one will care anymore when some of the really heavy stuff maybe comes out.
That seems to be what we're being prepped for in some ways, yes.
But anyway, I'm trying to suss what's going on here. So
No,
where are you?
the last part is what interests me. I don't actually care too much about this story.
Cool.
It's kind of a
That's all I need to know.
non-story, to be honest.
Oh right, I've already seen it. Despite our outside his outsider status,
No,
yet.
what they did. No. There's a pivot here. Let me show you the pivot.
Which
This
paragraph
does
is the
not
pivot?
mean it's the paragraph before it. It's just the paragraph before
Cool.
they talk about Yavin. This does not mean that Yankovic is insincere. Far from it. I'm quite sure that she genuinely understands herself to be in a battle with the ferocious and atrocious creature of the night. There is no conspiracy to suppress the speech of the Joe Biden administration's domestic enemies, at least not a conscious one. There is a system at work here, but a system that works in a peculiar way. There is a concept that can help us understand what's going on, a concept developed
Bruh,
by an American software engineer called Kenneth
no
Sharon.
chance. Are they? They've just cut the teeth off his idea. They've just gone and said his idea and cut the fucking teeth off it. That's hilarious.
It was also present somewhat in his tablet article. He was talking about it not being conspiratorial. He doesn't have an academic position and he hasn't published any books, at least not in any form. He said he's written hundreds of thousands of blah 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 blah, talking about being a blogger. Despite his outside status, they didn't kind of go on to talk about the cathedral. But what they're doing here is they're positing the cathedral as neutral. They are combining the cathedral with the idea of the neutral state.
Oh, the cathedral just happened, guys. Yeah,
It's just
one
the
of
way
Yavin's
things
most
are.
influential ideas is concerned with what he calls the cathedral. Our pre-Reformation forebears had the Catholic Church and the Soviets had the Politburo, and we too have a nexus of powerful institutions that govern us, the media and the academy, but our cathedral has no central administrator. There is no conspiracy. You've just told us that they govern us. All government is conspiracy. Come on.
This is the pivot.
Yeah.
What they're going to do is they're going to refine it. They're going to refine the neutral cathedral. It's not a conspiracy. There's just this thing here that does this to us. Maybe we can get rid of it. Maybe we can reform it. But there's no deliberate agenda. Like, of course this is deliberate agenda. They put up something called the Disinformation Governments Board. They've basically got their dick out and they're slapping people with it, saying we can make a Ministry of Truth and you can't do a fucking thing about it.
Yeah.
And by the way, we've had one for decades anyway, so we're just gonna come out
Inst
and performatively do this.
Instead, there is a group of clever and ambitious people all competing for status within elite institutions, and this process of competition tends to produce ideological conformity across those institutions, does it now? The cathedral has a party line without a party, writes Yarvin, and if you've ever met any of the official authorised bearers, you know that the last thing they think of themselves as being is officially authorised bearers. Here's another, they've gone and contradicted themselves straight away. This process of competition tends to produce ideological conformity, which means these people engage in ideological conformity but are competing through some other vector that they are not consciously telling people about, which means they are being conspiratorial.
Well, they're basically coming out and trying to launder the reputation of the managerial elite here. Clever and ambitious people all competing for status within elite institutions. So you mean an elite class is what you mean. They can't use those words because the whole thing fucking breaks down when you admit that there's an elite class of people. It is it's an attempt to sidestep the most powerful revelatory ideas
Oh
of
my,
Malik
yeah.
theory.
Sorry,
It's
just
them.
the last sentence here. You don't have to agree with the rest of Yarvin's writings to see that the cathedral metaphor has explanatory power. It explains, for instance, how Yankovic, an officially authorized bearer, if there ever was one, can be put in charge of a propaganda department and not realize it. How fucking thick is the person that wrote this to believe that this?
I don't think they believe that at
No, of
all.
course they don't.
I think both of the it's an irony that this is being done, I think, by the New Statesman for Machiavellian purposes of trying to disarm these ideas, whilst also discounting the idea that someone like Yankovic could be a Machiavellian actor in of herself and not believe the things she's talking about. Because it's equally likely that she is just some fucking careerist who doesn't give a shit about any of this stuff and just wants to go around being some
Who's
sort of horrendous
Louise
fixer
Perry?
for the regime.
It's the Google Journals hour this evening. We're early life and hard, but just because it's fun.
What Louise Perry are we looking at? Or Yankovic?
Perry. I've seen enough for this that Yankovic bird all over fucking. What do you mean this person doesn't have a bloody Wikipedia?
Oh dear. She seems to
Got our
be.
own website. Never. The Case Against the Sexual Revolution: A New Guide to Sex in the 21st Century. Bruh.
Freelance campaigner and freelance writer and campaigner against sexual violence.
Yeah, Louise is the press officer for the campaign group We Can't Consent to This, which documents cases in the UK women have been killed and defendants have claimed in court that they died as a result of rough sex. The pressing
Well, she
issue.
also,
Pressing issue.
she also, literally two, like two, when was this put out? Eighth of E. Okay, a month ago then. She wrote
Oh
an
God,
article
she's talked to
saying,
that bloody the subversive podcast with that is it the Romanian bard Alex Kashuta, the sexual revolution and its discontents. The other podcast, The Costs of the Sexual Revolution, is the sexual counter-revolution coming? So is this just like some generic TERF bird that's big into like the unheard stuff and post-liberalism
on
and
unheard.
that's what I'm saying, it's on our thing, the Critic, Daily Mail.
No. Her latest article on Unheard is how pedophile anxiety moved from left to right. She's
Fuck.
doing some nonce defense here.
Why the Will Smith
She.
slap is good news. Is statue toppling now a right-wing activity too? Yes, it is when the statue is fucking imaging
Yeah.
paedophilia.
Yeah, King Cole's got it right now. They're both feds. It's just feds talking about each other.
Yeah.
If not, she is some like weird
I need to get
mewling
this up because
quisling.
that's hilarious.
What? The slap one?
Nah, how paedophilia anxiety moved from left to right. I'm gonna have a wee look through this.
She's yeah. It's critics have dubbed it. She's talking about like the Don't Say Gay bill, conservative Twitter. She's basically going out and against DeSantis, and saying that
But
it's
20 years
anti.
ago, the reverse was true. In the early 2000s, the most high-profile child sexual abuse scandal concerned the Catholic Church. Aye, was
It's
it? Was it?
full regime, like it's like machine gunning regime talking points at you. That's what makes this pivot so interesting. It's that all these
Bruh,
regime, quote unquote,
paedophilia
conservatists.
anxiety is one of those issues that readily takes on a partisan flavour. Depending on which side has most recently been tarnished by association with a high-profile exposé. This is despite the fact that research increasingly suggests that a paedophilic orientation is innate, meaning that paedophiles are likely to be relatively evenly distributed throughout society and across the political spectrum.
Innate, you say?
You.
Orientation.
You.
Orientation, you
You
say?
fucking. This is why I never liked these bloody unheard people and this post-liberalism shit. I knew it wasn't good. I'm putting that away because it's making me fucking angry. Ugh.
It's. Yeah, so what we have here is a nonce defender who is trying to pivot the rhetoric of someone like Curtis Yarvin into making the idea. Into turning the idea of the cathedral into the neutral wielding of power, and the neutrality of institutions, and that the conformity of opinion is due to the neutrality of the institutions, and that they are that the outgrowth of this really is that they are just regurgitating the neutral position.
Which means
It's
the winning position, which means our position, which means not your position.
yes, yeah, the nonsense is born that way, guys. The you know, hashtag born this way.
That's physically made me angry. I like the fact that, like, without any planning whatsoever, pretty much all the people that were involved in the articles we looked at today are all involved in weird shit. They're either spooks or, like, actual nonce defenders.
Welcome. Again, these are the people who Yavin is being absorbed into and may end up being subsumed by. And that is possibly a fate worse than death. I hope he's smart enough not to be used in the way that they're trying to use him.
If he turns up to Shieldings and we are there, there will be some very interesting conversations that I can assure you.
Oh dear. Well, is there anything we need to talk about before we leave off then? I could give, I guess, the GoFundMe an extra shill if you want.
Yeah, if the people who haven't caught the other streams that we've been do or I've been doing, both yesterday and today. I'm currently running a GoFundMe so I can afford the flights to go to the Mises Institute over in America. You can find that as a message I've just put in the chat there. As I've said, there was a big donation from someone earlier on that was like 70 quid. So that's nearly £400. So I am now well past a third of that and will continue to do the live reading of Human Action on Monday, probably. I'm going to give myself the weekend to let my voice recover and
Yes,
do
you
other
probably should do.
stuff.
That would be good. Do not become a mute villain. From my perspective, there isn't really anything to share. I've got my speech from the Nomos event still being edited because I've kept doing bits and pieces to it. I wasn't happy with it. But that should be coming out at some point. That's the only other thing. We do have the Substack, and there is stuff on that. So do go and read it if you haven't already. That's in the description as well. But no, we're going to keep doing our content. We're going to keep doing what we're doing. Evelyn's still doing her telethon. So if you feel like tuning in and listening to some Human Action, please do. Thank you guys for tuning in, and I'll say good night.
Goodbye.